It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
Hey, Satellite Guys, welcome to another exciting edition of the SatelliteGuys.us podcast. And I'm feeling a little bit better this week, Scott.
Well, yeah, you drank enough last week that every single thing that's harmful in your body should be gone by now.
Yeah, I know. I was drinking so much, I was drinking just as much as Charlie was, as he had to pay all that money over to TiVo.
You know, I don't think he was really sweating it. I talked to him about that earlier this summer, and basically he said the check was already written, and he basically hinted that, you know, he thought he would maybe lose, and if he did, oh well, but there was a chance he could win, and, you know, he was willing to take that chance, and it cost him $104 million.
Yeah, really, it was just it was a gamble that he had to take. The worst that was going to happen is he's just going to have to pay out the money, and the greatest thing that would have happened is he wouldn't have to pay out anything. It's a risk that he could have calculated, and it was sitting in escrow, so it was doing nothing but collecting interest. And with that said, he's done paid it, and it's done and over with now. Let's go ahead and build a relationship with TiVo, and, well, we still got the other stuff coming up here with TiVo.
Yeah, hopefully that goes well, but Dish is taking some preemptive stuff here going about with, like, people with the 721s that did not get any upgraded software because that wasn't one of the infringing units. And then, as we reported on last week's podcast, that Dish is no longer producing standard definition DVRs anymore. They're all high definition ones because those do not infringe. So Dish is setting themselves up for a loss, or just in case they lose, so it won't have very much of a material effect on them.
You know, this might be a great time for Dish to really think about doing an all MPEG-4 solution for everything on their system.
Well, the only reason they won't do that is because the length of time it was going to take to replace about 20 million boxes out there. There's a lot of receivers, and since Dish really owns all the boxes, or the majority of the boxes, it would be a big measure for them. But they started doing that with the all MPEG-4 Eastern ARC service, and it's something that they will start moving towards in the future, but not immediately.
Right, and I know there was a couple people over in the DirecTV forum that hinted they wanted to see DirecTV do kind of sort of the same thing, but that's exactly the reason why I hinted they couldn't do it, was the fact that there's 20 million some odd boxes out there, especially on the 101 bird. And it takes time to swap all those out, and who's going to really pay for the cost of that swap out?
Right. That's the whole key of it there. Money speaks loudly. And, you know, it's very interesting to see where things are going and see how things are progressing. And hopefully that ruling actually comes out for Dish or TiVo in the near future, because let's end it and let's move forward. And, you know, all signs are pointing that Dish is going to be working together with TiVo. And I would really like to see that. And if that does happen, it's going to be a great thing for consumers.
Yeah, speaking of money talk, EchoStar has a new team member as of this week.
Yeah, Joe Clayton. A lot of people may remember him as CEO. He was CEO at Sirius Satellite Radio and then left the company once Mel Carmazan came on board. And me and Joe have a good working relationship. I've interviewed him numerous times before in the past, and also knew him on a personal level. So he's a great guy, and it's great seeing him back in the satellite business.
Yeah, glad to see that Charlie's got a fresh face up there. Maybe this will help turn things around in the industry. Right now, it's been a really, really boring time for both satellite TV providers. And I don't know, I'm still waiting on some new high definition that they promised for October. And here it is, almost the middle of October, and I ain't seen one channel launched other than local channels and other stuff like that.
Yeah, and on the Dish Network side of things, you know, they said 150 by the end of the year, and they also said that when the EchoStar 11 went online, we'd see a bunch of new HD then. EchoStar 11's been online for a month and a half now, and there's still no HD yet, so come on, Charlie, get on the ball.
Right, DirecTV has all those pay-per-view channels that are sitting there right now. Come on, give us a bone or two. Fox News, HD, you know, there's a couple other movie channels in HD that I'm sure people would love. Come on now.
Speaking of pay-per-views, I understand that DirecTV had a special event this weekend called BlitzCon.
Oh, yes.
And you're familiar with that, and they had a lot of trouble with it. Can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, for those of you that don't know what BlizzCon is, basically it's Blizzard's real big shindig. They're a software company that hosts a software that you might be familiar with named World of Warcraft. And BlizzCon is a pay-per-view that's in high definition. It was $34.95 of their big little shindig. And there was so many technical difficulties with it where the audio would either drop out, you would get no video, or for 30 minutes straight, there'd be no audio and video, and you'd have a technical slate up on the screen. For $34.99 of 16 hours of coverage, there really wasn't 16 hours of coverage because of the fact that there was so much, the video feed was so problematic.
Mm-hmm. So I understand the phones were ringing off the hook at DirecTV with a lot of upset customers, and you being one of them.
Yeah, I was on the phone with DirecTV, and it was an over 40-minute wait to get a hold of a customer service rep. Because you think about it, World of Warcraft is a really, really popular game. There's well over 1.5 million people that play this game worldwide.
And all of them are virgins.
Yeah, right.
Well, except for you.
But, no, Scott, it was really cool because a part of the BlizzCon pay-per-view, they showed a map where it was the daylight map, and then there all these little white dots across the world. They had little white dots all across the world, and that was people playing their game right now as we spoke.
I can see it now. I'm going to get a ton of email from World of Warcraft people saying, I am not a virgin. How dare you talk about us like that?
But, yeah, DirecTV got absolutely swamped. The second day was a lot better, but a lot of people were disappointed in the pay-per-view because the fact that there was stuff like the dance contest, which they promised to us that they would show and they never showed. And you missed half the interviews, and a lot of people were hoping that you could see some of the forums that were going on, but a lot of that was missed out because of the technical difficulties. So that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, yeah. Another big thing that went on this week that made some people happy was both Dish Network and DirecTV added a bunch of new HD markets this week. DirecTV added two markets, Evansville, Indiana, and Columbia, Jefferson City, Missouri, was added to the DirecTV HD locals lineup. And on the Dish Network side of things, they did Florence, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida, Greenville, New Bern, Washington, North Carolina, Madison, Wisconsin, and Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Those were all added to Dish Network on the HD locals front.
Awesome. Now, if we can get them to add some national HD, the things would be a lot better.
Yeah. Speaking of HD, Bob, and this brings us to our next little segment here, the Sling Box, the new HD box, is officially on store shelves, as is the new Sling Catcher. And earlier this week, I had a chance to speak to Brian J. Kett, who is the director of marketing for Sling Media. And let's take a look into that interview now, shall we?
Awesome.
This is a Satellite Guys special report.
Today we're joined by Brian J. Kett of Sling. Brian, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I got a nice little package in the mail today from Amazon.com. Your new Slingbox Pro HD. I can't wait to hook it up.
Yeah, it's a pretty powerful product. And actually, you know, being a Slingbox customer that you are, I know you've enjoyed the benefits of play shifting your home TV to your phone and to your computer. And actually, you know, this product, the Slingbox Pro HD, really takes a jump forward from a performance perspective. You know, existing Slingbox customers are going to see a huge, huge improvement in video quality from their previous products and experiences.
And the prior Slingboxes, the older, the Pro and the Classics, and even the Solos and stuff, those all perform nice. The video quality on them is excellent. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they have there. But the big thing for you guys this week is you have a new product out this week, and that is the Sling Catcher. Now, a lot of people are talking about it online, saying that it just allows you to watch your Slingbox on your TV, which is not entirely the case. Can you explain all the features of the Sling Catcher to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Sling Catcher has three primary applications to it. And, you know, basically for those that aren't familiar with sling boxes and sling catchers. You know, the sling box you attach to your cable box, your satellite receiver, and obviously your audience, all your satellite receivers out there, and then you connect it to your network, and then it allowed you to watch your living room television on your laptop, your desktop computer, your mobile phone, anywhere in the world. So it kind of took the video source, went through the sling box, and then out over the internet to a receiving display for viewing pleasure. The sling catcher is almost like a reverse sling box. It only has outputs, and it connects to the television set, and it connects via HDMI, component video, composite video, S-video, and it has both digital audio as well as standard RCA jacks. And what it allows you to do is three things, two of which actually have nothing to do with a sling box. The third one is for those sling box customers that have been asking us from the very beginning, hey, I want to watch my living room TV on another TV. So that third one we'll start with first. Sling Player for TV, which is the name of the application, allows Slingbox customers to place shift their living room television from their living room TV to another TV via the Sling Catcher. So the Sling Catcher is connected to a secondary TV either in another room in the house or a remote location. Mm-hmm. It's also connected to a network connection. And then it communicates with the Slingbox and basically takes the video signal over the internet and delivers it onto the television screen. And the Sling Catcher comes with a remote control, so you can change the channel, you can go into your DVR, you can record a show, you can watch a recorded show, you can pause, rewind, whatever you can do at home, you now can do on that secondary TV, either in another room in the house or in another location. So
that's thing for travelers.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, it is great for travelers, folks that are in hotel rooms. You know, it's amazing. I was just in New York City the other week, and we are in a Marriott hotel, and Marriott now is got this program where they provide all these inputs in like a board that sit next to the TV, which allows you to plug all these different devices into directly into the TV. So you don't have to kind of reach behind the TV and hope that you can get a connection. Plus, they've got Ethernet, right? And so we basically connected a Sling Catcher to this board via HDMI, and the input in the Sling Catcher popped right up on the TV screen. We took the Ethernet cable, plugged it into one of the routers that we had, you know, created a network connection, and we could have actually just plugged the Ethernet cable right into the Sling Catcher, and then we were watching our football from the Bay Area on this TV in New York, because you know how NFL works, right? On Sundays in the New York area, you're going to get the Giants and the Jets games.
Correct.
You know, you're not going to get the 49ers, and you're not going to get anything from the West Coast. So we were watching our TV on this remote television. It was great.
Cool. How was the quality in the hotel?
It was good, actually. It was really good. And, you know, the same kind of standards apply with Sling Catcher as they do with, you know, watching your TV on a laptop computer. You the better upload speed you have at home where the Sling Box resides, the better the experience is going to be. Now, you know, hotel rooms, the broadband download speeds vary pretty dramatically, but
right.
I think we were getting 500-600 kilobits pretty steadily. And obviously the upload speeds we had from the Sling Box we were connected to was in the 1 megabit range, I believe.
Great. Well, let's talk about the other two features of the Sling Catcher, because they're both very, very exciting. And, you know, the Sling Catcher is a lot more than just watching Sling Box on your TV. So tell us about those other two features.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Sling Projector and the My Media features are the other two applications. So Sling Projector, My Media. We'll start with Sling Projector first. And again, I want to be very, very clear here that these two applications, these two functions of the Sling Catcher really have nothing to do with the Sling Box. So we expect, obviously, while Sling Box customers will use these applications, we also think that this opens the door to a new customer set that maybe hadn't bought a Sling Box before, hadn't really, maybe hadn't even heard about a Sling Box before, but is starting to really watch a lot of content from the web. And so what Sling Projector does is that it basically is a piece of software that you install on your Windows computer. We support Windows XP and Vista right now. We do have plans to support the Mac. And any website, any video website you can go to, any video you want to watch that you watch online, whether it be from one of the major network sites like NBC.com, CBS.com, ABC.com, whether it's from YouTube, whether it's from satellite guys, maybe there's some video podcasts and those types of things online there.
Mm-hmm.
Hulu.com, you name it, right? Anything you can watch on your computer on the web, you can project that video up to the television wirelessly. And it's not just projecting, the website or the URL, the page that's on your computer. You can project just the video. So there's a really unique feature there that allows you to basically snap onto just the video screen that's playing within the website and project just that video up there. And obviously, you don't want it to project in that small of a size. We upscale it to fit the size of the television screen. So now you can watch long-form content on your TV. You can go anywhere on the web, and any type of content. You can also even, take a Netflix.com streaming solution. You stream movies to via Netflix.com via their player, and you could even project that up to the TV or something from Amazon Unbox or what have you. So it's really a very, very powerful application.
Now let me ask you a question about it, because a lot of people think that if you take a YouTube video and blow it up and put it on your 40 or 50-inch HD screen, it's going to look like crap.
Right.
I understand that you guys have a little technology in there that helps things out when it upconverts it.
Yeah, we do. There's, it's definitely a secret sauce that we put in there. It's very similar to what we try to do with SlingStream, which is the algorithm set that we do on the Sling Player software for the Slingbox customers. A lot of things we're doing in the background where we scrape the image off of the computer screen, and we do some rendering things that preserve really, really well the core viewing,
the video
viewing aspect of the video aspect of the actual screen. So it looks really, really good. Clearly video content varies in terms of the performance and the clarity and those types of things on YouTube. It's not uniform, right? Especially
with
stuff that's uploaded. But we preserve the quality of the stream very, very well. And actually, there's on the remote control, you can use a feature called mode, where you actually upscale into different sizes, and you can kind of determine by going pressing the mode button 1, 2, 3 times. What's the best resolution? What's the best size of the video that you want to watch that gives you the best quality and clarity?
Right. So ultimately there, people don't have to worry about watching videos from most sites on the internet and having it look like a bunch of mosaic tiles. It's going to look
good for you.
And that's one of the amazing things of the Sling Catcher. And what's the final other feature of the Sling Catcher?
Yeah, so the final feature is called My Media. And what My Media does is allows customers to plug any USB hard drive into the back of the Sling Catcher. Sling Catcher has two USB inputs. And you can plug any hard drive into the back of the catcher, and then and basically all the content, all the media that's on that hard drive shows up in the menu. And you can use a remote control to navigate through your personal media files. And so where this is important is that, content is coming from a lot of different places these days, right? People are taking their wedding DVDs and personal movies and all these different things and making digital files out of them. They're taking shots off of the camcorder or off of their digital camera, making little videos. Content's coming from a wide variety of places. And what you do with the Sling Catcher is you just plug in your USB drive into your PC. We actually are going to have a utility that's not quite out yet, but it's called Sling Sync. And so what you do first is you drag all the files into your USB hard drive that's connected to your PC. Then you run the Sling Sync application, and then your hard drive will show up in the directory of the Sling Sync application. And what you do initially is you do a scan of all the video files that you have on that hard drive. And what that'll tell you right away, before you even plug it into the Sling Catcher, is it'll tell you, okay, this file, this file, this file, this file, all will play natively, no problems. It's a plug and play, not a problem at all. And those files that won't play, that actually flags them for you, says, this one's not going to play. We're going to have to transcode it. And so you can transcode it, mm-hmm. and then it'll turn to a green dot. So we have green dots, yellow dots, and red dots. And the third one, the red dots, is that, you know what, unfortunately this file is just not compatible. Maybe there's some protection aspects to it, you know, maybe some copyright protection that doesn't allow you to play it on something like a television screen or on a different screen, different resolution.
So the Sling Catcher really sounds like a really great unit. It brings all your media together, everything you like about being online, everything you like about watching television, and everything that you have as far as personal media. It's all in one box. That's a really great solution because people have been looking for something like that for a while now.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a universal media player, right? It pulls content from broadcast, from your computer, and from the internet, and it basically allows you then to control that content in a very, very uniform way on a single screen, your television screen. I mean, we're trying to do a lot of things with this product, obviously. You know, it's not a one-dimensional product. There are other products out there, like a Roku box or even Apple TV, that bring content to the television, but it's very, very, you know, they're very, very one-dimensional. This is really trying to go out there, take everything from the internet, push it up to the television. You'll start to see some integration over time where we can start to make content from places like Sling.com, which I know we're going to talk about, available on the television screen as one of the menu items. So you don't have to project just from your PC. You can kind of take that out of the equation. But mm-hmm. we really wanted to make sure that we could get everything from the internet up to the TV at first swoop and then go from there.
Well, that product just became available this week, and the MSRP on that is, I believe, $299?
Yeah, $299 is the MSRP. Best Buy, Micro Center, Fry's on the West Coast here, Amazon.com, Buy.com, Slingbox Pro HD in the same channels as well, and that's $299 as well.
Okay, well, talking about the Slingbox Pro HD, I mean, we touched on it a little bit at the beginning, but I want to go into just a little more detail about it.
Sure.
And, Satellite Guys members are very, very fussy when it comes to high-definition television. And, I've seen firsthand what the Slingbox Pro HD can do. Explain to the people that if you have a good enough internet connection, you can watch high-definition television anywhere.
Yeah, that's a great point, Scott. Let me explain it by taking a step back and talking about our earlier generation products.
Sure.
Both the Slingbox Pro and the Slingbox Solo both had high-def inputs. And so you could connect your high-def set-top box to them to watch that programming on your laptop or your mobile phone. But what we did with those two products is we actually down-converted the high-def source to VGA before we delivered it to the computer. And what we don't do with the Slingbox Pro HD is we don't down-convert the stream. So if you've got high-def and you have the bandwidth to support it, you can basically watch your high-def programming in high definition on your laptop virtually anywhere. Now, again, today, Slingbox Pro HD is compatible with both Windows and Mac computers, but the HD streaming aspect right now is only supported on Windows. We are in active development on the Mac. We will have more to talk about in the future, but right now it's Windows XP and Windows Vista. And you know, we expect a lot of Slingbox customers. I think you're probably one of these people as well. A lot of our Slingbox customers use their Slingbox for streaming inside the home. Right, you're in another room in the house. I was in the kitchen all day today, and I was wanting to watch the Phillies game. It's the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't in front of my TV, so I had it running in the corner on my computer. In-home streaming, it's going to go up to, depending on the performance of your computer, in-home streaming is going to go up over 8 megabits a second, and the quality and the resolution is just out of sight. If you are streaming remotely, if you go, if you're at the office, if you're on a trip or what have you, we do say that to support HD streaming, you need an upload speed on your broadband modem of 1.5 megabits or higher.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you have that support, you're going to get phenomenal, phenomenal resolution to a remote location. If you don't, it'll down-convert it automatically to VGA, half VGA, quarter VGA, whatever is supported at the location you are or the upload speed you have from your home. But if you've got the speed, it will stream in HD to a remote location.
Well, that's really amazing, and that's something that people have been looking for a long time from the Slingbox. They wanted to have the ability to watch their HD in different places in the house and on the road, and this really gives people the opportunity. And again, I've seen early development stages of this unit. I haven't played with the production unit yet. I've got the box sitting here right next to me. But the early stage stuff that Brian showed me, the picture quality was identical to the 1080p we saw on the screen that was sitting right next to it, and it was really, really amazing.
Yeah, I think you'll be blown away. The crispness, you know, the colors, right, on a football game, the lines, the how the helmets look with the reflection from like a light stand. I mean, it's incredible. It really is incredible, the jump we're taking from a performance perspective.
All right, so one of the things that's going to tie this all together, I understand, is something you call Sling.com. Can you tell us more about Sling.com?
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. We're really excited about this website. It's something we've been working on for a long time, and actually we've got a New York team that's been working on it. And the key component here is that we really wanted to develop a video site that was differentiated. You know, you might say, oh, geez, it's just another video site. Aren't there so many video sites out there right now that are delivering premium content to the web? And it's true, and actually I think we're really going to benefit from the successes of some of the folks like NBC.com, CBS.com, and even, you know, some of the sites like Hulu and YouTube, especially as YouTube is now really branching into more premium content. I think I saw they made an announcement today about how CBS shows are going to be available on YouTube for viewing. So Sling.com, though, is going to have some differentiated features, and it's also going to really tie in and start to tie in more with our hardware products, which I think really, really sets it apart. The key first feature of Sling.com is that we'll have over 70 content partners on board at launch, delivering premium content through the internet. And so you'll be able to get all your favorite shows, all your, you know, stuff that you never maybe even heard of, at least not initially, but classic TV programs, long form content, clip content, you name it. But the other thing that's actually really, really cool, and this is for Slingbox customers, is that at launch, Sling.com will also feature a web-based version of the Sling Player software.
This is big news here. So what you're saying is that if a person leaves their laptop at home, which has their Sling Player software on it, which you know is 130 meg download, instead of downloading it all again on your friend's laptop to watch the football game in a weekend, you just go to Sling.com and you could be watching the football game?
Absolutely. And it's tied in through Sling Accounts integration. We haven't talked about this yet, Scott, but this is actually a really important piece. I'm not sure if you played much with the Sling Player 2.0 for Windows software yet.
Yeah, I love it because I don't need to know the Sling Finder IDs. I just log in and they're all there. It's a beautiful thing.
Right, exactly. So Sling Accounts is the ability to have a single username and password that gives you then, it stores your Finder IDs and kind of your general account information, right? And so when you download the Sling Player software and create your Sling account, on a new computer, like let's say you download it on a new computer, you logged in, all your Finder IDs just show up, right?
Right.
So again, on Sling.com, if you log into Sling.com, what happens? Your Finder IDs show up on Sling.com, and you just simply click on your Finder ID, and you're up and running watching your living room TV, accessing your DVR. There's a virtual remote that pops up on the screen. It is a really, really nice integration. And we didn't even talk about this before, but on Slingcatcher, it also has Sling Accounts integration. So when you sign in to Sling Accounts on your Slingcatcher, your Finder IDs show up on your television so you can watch your Slingbox on another TV in the house or in a remote TV.
Now, what's the status on the Sling and, Clip and Sling? We've heard about that a couple times over the past year. Will that be part of the new Sling.com?
Yeah, so that's a great question, actually. So when Sling.com goes live, which is a little later this fall, Clip and Sling will not be enabled just yet. And as you know, Clip and Sling is built into the client software, the Sling Player software that runs on your PC. And so, you know, when it's enabled, you're able to clip content. You're able to then share that content immediately with other people. You send a URL to someone and they click on it and it actually opens up Sling.com, right? And you can watch the content right there and then you can start browsing and stuff like that. So it's a really nice viral piece. Mm-hmm. We're making tremendous progress on Clip and Sling deals. A lot of these content partners that we've signed on for syndication deals, which are going to deliver their content to Sling.com at launch, We're also signing clip and sling deals with those same partners, and they're very, very excited about it. It's just not quite ready yet. You can bet that we'll have more to say as quickly as we can, because we think it's a really, really important piece to this. But we're not going to launch it until we're ready and we feel good that we can provide a great user experience and also make sure that the content partners are on board with the proposition that we put forth.
Great. Sling.com is currently in beta, as far as I understand. Is there any way, are you guys accepting public beta testers or anything like that?
We are accepting beta testers. The way that you can sign up is you simply go to sling.com. You sign in and you send us a request to be included, and then we're slowly but surely basically bringing new people in every single day. So we're kind of doing a controlled beta right now, where you need to be accepted into the beta, but feel free to actually go to sling.com, sign up to be considered, and we'll see what happens.
Well, Brian, that sounds really excellent. Ever since I got my first Sling Box a couple years ago, I've been saying to everybody I know that this is the coolest gadget of the 21st century, and it just keeps getting better. You guys are doing a great job there.
Well, I think that thank you for saying that. I think that means a lot to the founders, Blake Krikorian and his brother Jason and Boop and Shaw. I mean, I think that we feel very passionate about this technology, and we're really excited right now, because I think that. I know you're starting to see it, and I hope your listeners are starting to see it as well, is that there's a lot of things we're doing that are both, public facing as well as on the back end that are kind of, more transparent, really trying to create this ecosystem here of quality content that's delivered from a variety of different places on a variety of different screens, wherever that person might be. The person doesn't need to think about where the content's coming from. It doesn't matter if it's coming from the cloud, from the internet, from their computer, from the broadcasting network that they sign up for on a regular basis. People just want to consume content, and we want to try to give it to them and deliver it to them in the best possible way that we can. And we're pretty excited about how Sling.com and Slingcatcher and Slingbox are really starting to kind of play this really key integral role in that transformation of content accessibility.
Right. I know you're a busy guy and you need to be going here, but let me just ask you one question quick, and I know you can't really talk about it, but sure. I understand that you're working on a new box with EchoStar that's going to be shown at CES. I just want to know, is it going to knock our socks off?
You're right. I can't talk about these things. Look, when we were bought last year by EchoStar, Charlie Ergen made it very, very clear that the integration of the Sling technology was going to start to make its way into set-top boxes. And you can bet that a lot of these experiences are key ingredients to making the best possible product that we can for satellite customers and even for cable customers. So, without getting into any specifics, know that the engineers and everyone else at EchoStar and Sling Media are working very hard on delivering the next big thing.
Well, I look forward to seeing it at CES, which is coming up in January. And Brian, I really thank you for your time today and joining us here in the Satellite Guys podcast. Anything you want to say to us before you got to go?
Hey, thanks for listening. And those that are Slingbox customers, thanks for being our customers. We hope you'll also be a Slingcatcher customer. We don't think you'll be disappointed.
Right. And to learn anything more about Slingbox or Slingcatcher or any of the other technologies we talked about today, you can visit slingmedia.com. Brian, thanks again for joining us today on the Satellite Guys podcast.
Thank you, Scott.
Wow, what an interview, Scott. That was awesome. I want to go out and get me a Slingcatcher. I didn't know it had all those little hidden interactive features.
Yeah, it does more than just watching your Slingbox on TV, because everybody online keeps saying that's what it is. And one thing I should point out here is the current version of the software on the Slingcatcher does not allow you to output the full HD stream from an HD Slingbox to your HD TV. They're working on it, and the next version of the firmware, which should be out relatively soon, I'm hearing, we'll correct that issue so you can watch HD on another HD TV in your house or an HD TV in your hotel room wherever you're at.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to need that for the Consumer Electronics Show coming up here, so that way we can watch or sling our TV from home and watch it in Vegas.
Yeah, it's a great thing. Although in Vegas for CES, internet access stinks.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
You've got a million and one geeks like us all trying to access the internet at the same time, and there's not enough bandwidth for all of us.
Well, Scott, that's the music.
Yeah, it was a great addition today. If you guys have any comments for us, please let us know. Also, vote for us on Podcast Alley. Please, please, please.
And we'll see you real soon.
See ya.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.